Join our Patreon at patreon.com/podcastenvy.
So what we got for feedback, Bacon?
So first feedback, dear Podcast Envy, heard your episode with Shelley talking about doing a photo shoot. Mm. Her idea of bacon on your faces is great, and you should expand the idea into you guys having a breakfast meat food fight. Hell, do it shirtless and start an OnlyFans.
Mm.
Great episode from Mark.
I'm wondering if she's talking about you being on our faces or the meats. We're just putting strips of bacon.
Well, wait.
And other breakfast.
But we're having a food fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagined Jimmy Dean sausage being tossed about carelessly. Boy.
Honestly, whatever you guys want to do, just let me know. Put it on the calendar.
Yep.
Yeah. If there was syrup involved, it'd get really sticky.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what the kiddie pool's for.
kiddie pool full of maple syrup.
Yeah. Why not? Okay,
now I'm on.
This is going to be an exciting episode. We should record it and do an episode. That'd be
great. Yeah, we should record this episode. That'd be a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
And that one.
Yeah.
Dear Podcast Envy, as someone who struggles with songwriting, the conversation in your most recent episode really hit home. Hearing Brian talk about how long it can take to finish a song, and in parentheses, he puts 8 years?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Reminded me that the creative process doesn't have to be fast to be meaningful. Thanks for normalizing the messy middle. Much love, Tom.
Aw. Thanks, Tom.
Hey, so what other feedback do we got?
Thanks for listening, Tom.
Yeah.
So in the recent episode, we asked people for feedback on what we should put in the green screen.
Mm.
And we got a lot of responses.
Mm-hmm.
So here are some of them. Inside a front-loading washing machine.
Okay.
I don't really know.
That's just pretty good, actually.
Just clothes washing them up in the background?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Dishwasher too.
Yeah.
Nancy Grace is all they said.
That's Nancy Grace.
Nancy.
Okay.
Just have her like
where
frozen.
Where was the child?
That's awesome.
The floor of Congress, but it's a ball pit.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. I would just like to see that in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AI could help with that in our particular circumstance.
Yeah. A live feed from the Waffle House at 3 a.m.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like security cam footage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dig it.
Chuck E. Cheese animatronic band playing.
Love it.
That would be creepy, I feel like. It just,
I'm having flashbacks to my first job.
Closing in on you.
Hey, man, don't hate the pizza. The pizza there is good.
The pizza's good.
That
and
was
you
what
can,
I did there.
That's and you
the
can drink beer.
I survived.
Yeah.
The real life Five Nights.
What's that?
The real life Five Nights.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those eyes follow you.
Turn off the lights and then back away to the door.
I'm not closing. Somebody else do that.
A couple other ones. Scenes from a public restroom, which
awkward.
Yeah, scenes from an Italian restaurant.
Ooh.
From an Italian restaurant.
Bottle red, restroom. Bottle white, you know. The set of Love Island, which I don't know if they mean like island. Or like,
I don't know.
I've never watched this.
So have you seen the show?
I've not seen it, but I'm certain that Courtney has.
Okay.
So we could, next time we could phone her in.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Phone a friend. Yeah. Never heard it or never saw it.
Liar.
Mm.
It's on your top 10. Netflix.
Top 8.
Yeah.
Also, there was a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
Mm.
Inside the Metaverse.
Mm.
Okay.
No legs.
Like the cartoon one?
Yeah. Like
yeah.
Okay.
The one that they poured billions of dollars into and then just said, oh, never mind.
Yep.
Yep, that one.
What?
Well, that was all of them.
Why is it scenes from a public restroom?
It does sound kind of romantic that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, hello. Do you come here often?
The only podcast in your feed that rocks. This is Podcast Envy. Now, here's Bacon, Tim, and Brian.
All right, we got a special guest.
We do have yet another special guest.
Love it.
Take care.
What's up?
Turn the crickets off.
God. That's good timing.
He hails from the great state of Maryland. He's a musician, beatboxer, song starter, melody maker, harmonizer, and the man behind Sunday Under the Covers, my old job, and the Collaboration Laboratory. We're looking forward to hearing more about this songwriting collabs and maybe a beatbox off.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Lee Allen. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming.
For having me. I love it.
Yeah.
Make it out.
Yeah. So the way we know you is we know you through Brian. So can you kind of tell us how you and Brian got hooked up?
Tell them how far back we go and talk about our childhood.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm like I'm trying to go back because I know we connected through another musician because it's how it works always. And I'm trying to remember which musician it was. Was it Jesse or was it?
It could have been. You know, there. So there was a period when I was trying to get the whole Reb Media artist sessions off the ground at Skidoo's. I mean, I was looking anywhere to do it, but Skidoo's made the most sense because I used to work there and under the managers.
I remember the PJ Skidoo's gig. That was great.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have an opportunity for somebody to be like, hey, you just want to come and like play your music for people? Like, let's just do that.
Yep.
When you're used to doing like the hours of you know, applauseless, eyeless covers. that, you're like, it's nice to have people be like, yeah, you play your shit. Yeah, hell yeah.
When people come up and they're like, hey, do you know Sweet Caroline? You're like, wow.
I do, but I'm not going to do it.
I've never been so close to taking myself out back.
Yeah. How many 20s you got in that wallet?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The tip
That's
right
always the question.
I literally, my tip sign now, it's a sandwich board and I have my name on it. And it has like a little guitar thing to catch the tips. And it literally just says the best compliment is a nice tip. I was like, just, you know, you go to enough places and they're like, you were great. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what we should do is create like a, cause we have just like a standard, like milk jug tip jar, maybe put like one of those little miniature basketball hoops on it.
Yes.
And be like, yo, see how much money you can throw in here.
Yeah. We're tricking you. Yeah. It's a game. It's a game.
It's fun. Let's see. Try 20s. I think they're heavier.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And then you're spending time afterwards uncrumpling.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yay, this is what I got.
Like no, you open it, it's like, yeah, come to our church. Jesus will save you.
Exactly.
It's like,
this is a coupon.
Fooled again.
So did you grow up in this area, Maryland, or where did you grow up?
I actually grew up Philadelphia area.
Oh,
so yeah,
nice
right
area.
Outside of Philadelphia. Yeah, so I've heard. So I grew up right outside of there, you know, and then lived in Philly for several years.
Oh, cool.
And I've been in Baltimore for now 10 years, but I'm
I've thought, you know, thinking about how we got connected and how I kind of pulled you down to Northern Virginia, even for some of the other gigs that we're doing in Arlington and Reston. What is the music scene like in Maryland? Like, how do we get Nova people up there? You know, what are some of the places that that you like playing, or, you know, what is it like playing as a musician up there?
It's funny. There's a lot of different like pockets on the way up. You know, you've got your Annapolis area that has a lot of great stuff in there, and like your Ireland stuff. If you're going to stray off to Eastern Ireland, you can do that too. But I mean, once you get into Baltimore, a lot of it is like a lot of the breweries love to have live music. So if you're going to a lot of those places, breweries, I found a lot more restaurants than I did in Philadelphia when I was there. Like, love to have that live music. You know, you've got your Atlas group there, which is, you know, they've got the whole chain, and their whole thing is most of their places have live music. So, you know, you have lots of opportunities to see live music, to play live music, and all that good stuff. But there's a crazy original scene. Like, very, very big original scene. Lots of open mics all over the place. Lots of places to just set up your own shows. Be like, contact them, be like, hey, I want to do a show on this date. They'll be like, cool. And you set it up.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is that because I've, you know, just thinking out loud, but I've wanted to kind of navigate further north and east to maybe play some more places, because a lot of the places I play out here, they're fun, but it's also nice to have the variety and the diversity and to appeal to different audiences.
For sure.
Yeah, maybe we could talk about that
after this. Because, I mean, I've also, you know, with the collaboration laboratory stuff I do, I've been trying to look for an avenue to do that anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, provide the artists that are coming out with the opportunity to play.
And meet each other and play.
You know, the community exists on so many different levels. There's the community of artists within themselves, but then there's, like, connecting with the bigger community. There's, like, the venues, the restaurants, the breweries, and, like, the people that are going to be there enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I'm glad you brought the collab lab up, because I've been dying to know where that started, where that came from, how you manage that, where you do it.
So collab lab, collaboration laboratory, or collab, whatever the names are that we call it. Mm-hmm. It started from a lot of just conversations with other musicians while we were hanging out, like, working on music together. I first started getting back out to play music maybe 2 years ago. And it was just getting out to the open mics, meeting people and connecting. And then it became like hanging out, mm-hmm. sharing songs with each other. And it was, you know, you go to open mics enough and you hear each other's stuff. And then you start to share, ideas. Like, here's what you're working on. Mm-hmm. And so I would, during the summer, because, you know, I'm a teacher, so I'd have the summers free and I'd hang out with other musicians. And they'd be like, here's the song I'm working on. And we would just sit and workshop it and come up with ideas. Mm-hmm. And I'd seen things like that in Philadelphia too, like songwriter workshops and things like that. And so I'd had conversations with a friend who was like, you should run an open mic. I was like, we do open mics every day. Like, there's always an open mic. I want something different. I want something like a more creative workshopping process. Mm-hmm. So the idea of like working on one person's song is like really limiting. Like, people aren't going to necessarily want to show up every time to just work on one or two people's songs. Mm-hmm. But the idea of like, what's an inclusive thing? So I put like my teacher hat on and everything, and we had these conversations. And
which kind of makes you the perfect person to be the conductor, you know?
Yeah, it worked out really well with all of that background. That originally my idea was, you know, you put a bunch of people in a group, you give them like an hour, they write a song. And the buddy that I was talking to, he's like, yeah, but what if you don't like the people that you're working with?
Right. What if your partner sucks?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's doing all the work. Stuck with an hour of torture.
Yeah.
And like somebody that's argumentative or doesn't like.
Like, my parents just made me come here.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be here. Yeah. Like, no, I want to do polka. Like, what? No. Polka punk. Polka punk.
All right. We'll give you a solo and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Take your accordion and go home. Like, no, I'm just kidding. We love accordions, actually.
They're really cool.
Yeah, I do. There was a great accordion guy I saw at an open mic. And please come out. Please come out to Colab.
Yeah.
But, no, so that whole thing spawned, like, he's like, what if you do like 5 minute songwriting? I'm like, that's not enough time.
That's intense.
It's not enough time to like write a
song.
That's
like being in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, well, what's like the middle ground? So we settled on 15 minutes. And we were like, 15 minutes is kind of the perfect amount of time to get an idea started. And when it was first presented, I was like, listen, if you come up with like 30 seconds of music, you're good. Mm-hmm. And that was mostly to calm people's nerves, because everybody came up with at least mm-hmm. a minute to a minute and a half's worth of music, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, because we're all musicians. There's a little intro, there's a build, and then there's like a little bit of lyrics, sometimes verse, chorus, like something. Mm-hmm. But it was really cool to see like it start to come into its own, and people be like, some people are like pumping out whole 3 minute songs with like verse, chorus, bridge, chorus in 15 minutes as they like get into this groove and understand like roles and things like that.
Now, are you talking composition only, or is this with lyrics?
With lyrics.
So they're coming prepared with lyrics, nope. or they're just like on the fly?
On the fly. So they're given like,
that is intense.
A subject, a theme. Like I, again, with the teacher hat, I'm like, I like to mix it up. So sometimes it's like magnet words mm-hmm. and it's just like, here, I just dump words and I give them the metal thing and I'm like, put something together. But other times, like my favorite ones are like when I can really theme it out. Like my personal favorite was Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Like one of the earliest sessions I did, I got like those dove hearts mm-hmm. that have like little phrases inside of them.
Yeah.
And I just scattered them everywhere idea. And they yeah. just opened the chocolates and they wrote the songs based on what yep. was in there.
Oh. That's such a great yeah, idea.
That was like so much fun.
Musical improv class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and it's funny because like, so, and I'll talk about this a little more later. I actually went something last night that is called Rhythm Royale. It's a podcast, and they do something that is more jam based, and it's literally 5 minutes of prep, and then you have to play 5 minutes of music. Hmm. And it's kind of like, it's almost like the counterpart to this, because mm-hmm. it's a lot more like instrument jam focused, finding that song together in that 5 minutes and coming up and getting a groove going. But lyrically, and this is a conversation I had after experiencing it last night with some other like of the vocalists, it's cool to have that in contrast to the 15 minutes, because like in 5 minutes, like you don't have a lot of time to think about, you don't even hear what they're doing.
You're
like,
just trying
you hear
to find
the song
groove.
For the first time when they start playing.
Sure. Yeah.
And you got to find it right away. So you might have some phrases in your head based on whatever they say the song's about, but it's not enough time to prepare. Mm-hmm. That 15 minutes gives you time to like think of phrasing and melodies and harmonies and actually like compose a beginning of a song and not just improv a song. And I think that's kind of that difference. Mm-hmm. There are two sides of like the same coin. Mm-hmm. Like you got to be comfortable with one or to get better with the other.
Right.
So it's nice to see like these other things happening that push those other muscles too. So, you know, it's fun to see like them interacting on this higher level too, and like continuing to build stuff together. It, you know, the whole idea is like, my thing is always like community. So it started with like the art community, like the community of musicians and with each other, like build each other. Like we're all these different songwriters building our own things, but like we're all in the same area and we should be doing it together, working with each other.
Yeah.
Because that's how like you build awareness for it too. And so it was like, start with the musicians, and then we like network with the other like art communities. Like we started building into art walks and like putting musicians at art walks all around different parts of the city when they have these events.
That's smart.
So, and now it's like, now we have these showcases where it's like, now we want to try to get the bigger community. So we've already got like a lot of the connection with the venues that have participated in art walks, mm-hmm. can help us market and things like that, and continue to get that word out. And just, it was like, you know, it starts inside and then builds out to the greater community, because people just don't even know how much amazing, awesome, original music happening like in their neighborhoods.
Right. Well, and if we can't penetrate, you know, the broader market of, you know, being able to listen to music on Spotify or whatever, or on the radio, you know, being able to come out and see somebody live, it's like, oh, wow, there it is. It's literally right there next door.
True. Yeah. It's cool to see like other people empowered by it too. And like moving towards some people that said like, oh, I haven't done music in years, and would just like sit. There's a musician that used to come and just like hang out at open mics, never participated. She would just sit in the back. And when we talked about Collab and got her out, and she has this powerhouse voice, and we were like, what is going on?
From?
I'm like, you're a musical theater kid? Like, what happened? Like, yeah. And so now she's like in musical groups with other musicians that she's connected with. And it's like cool to see that happen, like with people, like just building their community and getting to know each other and stuff like that.
It is amazing to like, and you, they may not have known each other if, you know, you hadn't started all this, you know, that's kind of how I look at the Skidoo's thing and some other things. It's like, unless you put yourself out there, you're never going to know what actually exists out there for you to turn that into something bigger than you even thought possible.
Yeah.
So how long has the Collab been around? When did you start it?
So January of 2024. Yeah. Okay. So like a year and a half now.
Okay. And you, I think you told me you do it on Wednesdays?
Mondays.
Mondays.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it used to be like twice a month, and then we dropped down to once a month, just to make sure that like we're packing the sessions and everybody's coming out. And, you know, the excitement in the first couple months was like, it was easy to pack it with everybody because it was a new thing.
Sure.
And then and we're like, okay, let's slow it down and make sure that like we're consistent with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you have it out of your basement? Where is
it? No, okay. So so originally it was at this place called Night Owl Gallery, which was kind of the place where the whole idea took place, with conversations with them as well. And they're like, yeah, we want to host this. It's a cool idea. And eventually they're like, man, this is going on longer than we thought. This is I'm sorry, we might have to find another spot. Like,
yeah,
this is a lot, which is understandable. Like, and they were super gracious hosts for the time that we were able to be there. They were great. And we still connect with them all the time over events and stuff with Night Owl Gallery. They're one of the people that host those art walk events. Connect us with that.
Okay.
But now we're at a recording studio right in the same neighborhood in Station North area in Baltimore, and it's called the Watermelon Room. And it's this wonderful place that is very, very shady looking to approach. You like, you know, it's on an avenue. And then when you get to the avenue, you're like, oh, this is an alley. This is not an avenue.
And why are there no lights?
Yeah, it's like no lights. It's all the backs of buildings. What is going on?
Yeah.
And then you just like walk up to this nondescript blue metal door, and you have to bang on the door because it's locked.
Like earlier, who is it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, cool. I'm going to die here tonight.
Right.
I was going to write songs.
This is how I get into human trafficking.
Yeah, exactly. So I got a sandwich board, and I'm like, Collab, knock really hard.
Yeah.
Like, because there was nothing, no sign. Like, sometimes they'd have a magnet that was just a watermelon. I'm like, look for the watermelon and the eye sticker. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, it'll make sense. Society.
Yeah. But everybody.
Well, that's kind of a cool way of doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny though, because like everybody that walks in, as soon as they walk in, their eyes just like get big, and they're like, whoa, this is here. It's got like a stage room upstairs with like a lounge rooms, piano, like a baby grand piano upstairs. And
they give you like full access to all of it?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. I mean, I have like four rooms designated.
You got to do your breakout sessions and then come back together,
yep,
right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So, but the guy that runs it, his name's Garrett Long. So he's always been like, hey, if you want to push it to like 20, you want to bring an extra group in here, I have space so we can do that. And it's funny because the other thing I was talking about, the Rhythm Royale podcast, also happens at Watermelon Room.
Okay, cool.
It's like, again, that whole, what they say, like small to more. Mm-hmm. They talk about how everybody runs in like the same circles, and which I realized once I started doing music, like and meeting people like 20 times.
You start seeing the different people or people that you know and other people's stories on Instagram, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're a multi-instrumentalist. What are the instruments that you play?
So I do, my first instrument was like percussion, but not drum sets. Never had like a drum kit, so I can't do the hand-foot coordination. But like, so hand percussion, cajon, djembe, those are kind of like my bread and butter with percussion.
Do you ever put your elbow on top of the drum head?
I do. I have done that.
I
don't do elbow a lot of times. Actually, when I was playing djembe a lot, I used to press my thumb or the ball of my hand.
Pitch bend. But not like you don't do your whole body.
No, I don't do that. I haven't done that one.
Oh,
but
so it is your move.
But you wear like a glove, right? Glove sometimes to help.
Sometimes,
yeah.
When I play with certain people. Yeah. When like there's no, and it's not like there are some people that are like very percussive players. Okay. So it's like to make it pop with them, mm-hmm. you got to hit it a little harder. People that, you know, like Madison Bailey, mm-hmm. I played percussion with her for a bunch of shows. And the first time I played a 3-hour show with her, I was like, my hand is swollen.
Yeah.
Like, wow. This hasn't happened in a while, especially on cajon, like djembe. I feel like that was kind of normal. Like I was used to that, but not with that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, we need to mic this bad boy, and I'm gonna go find gloves.
Stop trying to play to the people in the back on this.
Yeah, exactly.
Wooden box.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You also slap at the bass.
Very little. Very mm-hmm. little. I have
very little slaps.
Yeah, very little slaps. Not much slaps. there is some bassing, but not too many slaps. Mm-hmm. That's the bass that I have is actually my dad's old bass. Okay. So I inherited that, and that was, I tried to pick that up before guitar because it was like, I had it. I'm like, okay, I'll learn this one.
Mm-hmm.
So I played it for a little bit. I played piano before all that stuff too. But you know, at this point, like percussion, guitar, vocals, you know, and the beatbox kind of like the forte.
So bringing it back, though, it's got to be pretty useful to know how all those instruments work.
Oh, absolutely.
To be able to kind of step in or give people ideas or for continue sure. to, you know, keep the kids. I mean, the other musicians.
The other adults, yeah.
on
sometimes it feels like kids, yeah. But no, it's it is. But it's also really cool to like have other multi-instrumentalists there, because when that happens, they are really flexible and cater to the other musicians. Yeah, so like you might have like one person who's plays guitar and sings, but they can also like do percussion, or they can also play this other instrument. And because there's two other singers in the group and there's a guitarist, and they're like, okay, well, I can just step back and do this other thing so you can do what mm-hmm. your comfort area is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool to see that give and take, because they also know that like this is 15 minutes of writing, and then we're going to play together, and then I'm going to work with a different group, and I mm-hmm. can do my thing then.
Right.
So it's nice to have that opportunity to rotate, and deviate, and like try different things.
Yeah. So when you first picked up bass, how old were you?
Oh man, when Bacon I first picked up bass. Know.
Well, that was the first instrument you said you picked up.
That was the first. So percussion.
Was first.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like percussion was elementary school. Piano. I had a piano in my house. My mom was a classical player.
Got it.
So she wanted to give me lessons, and I refused, because that's what stubborn children do.
Indeed.
And I remember like the C. Mm-hmm. C, D,
yeah, at least
I'm like,
you know where
no,
it is.
No, just play. I just want to play Mary Had a Little Lamb. Leave me alone.
Yes. chopsticks.
Yeah, that's it. So. No, piano and I mean, if I had to say, I would probably argue like singing was my first thing, because I was doing that. I remember like elementary school chorus in like first grade, trying to sing as loud as I could because I wanted to be in county chorus. Like,
heck yeah.
You were like, I'm on pitch. Listen to me.
Yeah. Ha ha. Like, yeah, all that.
That was Tim.
Yeah. But
so loud. We got to, he's either on or off.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yep.
Facts.
But I mean, also, like, the first instrument I picked, like, to learn was definitely drums because I was like,
okay.
I wanted to play drum kit, which of course, ironically, is I cannot. Not very well, at least. I can keep it in the pocket, but about it.
Bacon started doing lessons if you wanted to, nice. You know, in between collab there and gigs during the summer.
Another thing to pick up.
Not everyone's a real percussionist.
That's true. Bacon is a real percussionist.
Until I've been told.
Yeah. I am.
In not so many words. So you've done a duo with a former guest of ours, Jesse Moody.
Yes.
How was that?
It's great. I mean, Jesse's, you know, fantastic player.
Yeah.
Jesse was actually the first musician that I connected with when I started playing music again at an open mic. It was literally like I went out and I didn't even have a guitar. Mm-hmm. I was just asked if I could borrow the house guitar and I'm like, sure, awkwardly. And and I played and you know, Jesse was like, you know Jesse, he's like, nice job, man. Mm-hmm. That was like the first interaction and I was like, cool. And then he went up and played and I was like, holy shit. And there was literally a cajon sitting there and I'm like, I leaned over after his first song and I was like, can I please just like pop
can
up?
Can I get in on this?
He's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then that was it afterwards. Yeah. He's like, all right, let's connect. And so he was one of the first people that like, when I started doing other open mics, I'm just like, going to an open mic, here's where it is, come meet me maybe.
Hey buddy,
I'm like as long as I play before you, that's my only condition.
Yeah,
he is a gift to watch and to listen to.
Yeah,
it is amazing. It's just the way that it like pours out of him effortlessly. Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah, my favorite thing was one day he shows up to an open mic, he's like, I was writing this on the way over here. He just like plays like a fully constructed song. We're like, just stop. Why? Right.
Your band from collab.
Yeah. You are the band. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
There's no collab with you. It's just you're it.
Yeah.
You're done. It's like when people that are super muscular go to the gym and you're like, you're there.
That's it.
You're done. Yeah. Why do you keep coming here?
Yeah. Somebody's got to check you out. Like, give him the bill. He's done.
So when you're not playing music and you're not teaching math,
yep.
What do you do for fun?
Oh my!
Do you play disc golf? Do you remodel old furniture? Do you take trips to Paris? Do you buy jazz vinyl records?
Somebody has been on my Instagram. Like what? I was like, wait a second. I was like the first one. I like doing that. And then the second one, I'm like, wait. I definitely do that. The Paris, come on now. Hold on. I like to travel. I like to, you know, outdoor stuff, hiking, all that stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I again, we go back to like the ADHD thing. Mm-hmm. I will take up a million in one hobby.
Okay.
I have wood burned. I love wood burning. I actually I have a little wood burning that says like Lee Allen Sounds with a microphone on it and like stars all over it that I like put out at my stuff. And I have like things again, like plethora of like coasters, like little tree coasters with like Marvin the Martian or like Tasmanian Devil. Just like I'm home one night and I'm bored and I'm just like, let me do this thing.
But you draw them?
Sometimes I'll freehand. Sometimes I will like sketch or trace. And then I'll freehand. I'll go over that and do the shading freehand.
Now, is this for
like
personal
that.
Stuff or do you have like an Etsy or
no,
what's
just
going
personal.
On here? Okay.
Just personal. Only because I don't have the pattern and like the good like consistency to be like, I'm gonna do a bunch of these and then sell them. I'll do it for like a couple days and I'll have like a couple things and I'll be like, okay, next hobby, like something else. But there's a ton of things. Yeah, traveling is fun.
Nice.
It was cool when you were, I remember maybe it was probably Paris, but you were doing, you know, like cover songs and just playing, you know, in these random locations, and I kept tuning in and I was like, oh, this is really cool.
That's the Sunday Under the Covers thing. So that was like my little baby before the collab thing came about. And that was literally just because as I got back into playing, I found myself on the weekends literally just waking up on Sunday. And before I would like eat, before I would do anything else, I would just like pick up the guitar and just mess around, like pick up, look at a new song, like work on a song I'm writing on. And eventually got to the point where usually it would, at some point, I would be practicing a cover song. And I just started recording it. And after like a couple weeks of like doing this and posting it, I had that, you know, what I like to call the idea of Sunday Under the Covers. And I'm like, this is a cool thing to call it. I was doing it every Sunday. I was posting a cover. And so I added this hashtag to it. And after that happened, a couple other musicians are like, yo, what's the Sunday Under the Covers
thing?
This is
a cool idea, yeah.
And so I literally just created a channel for it. I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to make this Instagram. And I was like, post a cover, tag it, and invite it or as a collaborator, and we'll post it on the page. And it just became like it built, you know, all these musicians are like, this is fun. Mm-hmm. And so like some weeks, like it's more sporadic, like just like everything, the, you know, it ebbs and flows. So like Some weeks you'll have like 5 or 7 people we are posting. And now like every now and again, it'll be like 1 or 2 people are posting. Like even myself, I'm just like, I made it to almost an entire year of posting every week. I wow. think I was like 2 or 3 weeks shy. And it was just like one of those weekends, like you're not at home, not available. Like, and I didn't pre-record stuff because I was in the habit of just doing it and
in
posting
the moment,
it. On
the,
yeah. So after that, I was just like, oh man, life's getting busier. I have to start like maybe pre-recording these. And it's like, okay, well, that's not happening either.
Right. Well, that's
so
the thing.
Just do what we can.
Everything you see on the internet, I mean, you're being honest with us, right? But most everything you see on the internet is like pre-packaged.
Yeah.
You know, it's not typically in the moment, unless it's something live.
Right.
You know.
Stay locked in. We'll be right back with more Podcast Envy.
So Bacon mentioned he's got a little inside knowledge of you with the beatboxing.
Yep.
And so where did that start, and how, when do you practice that? We've talked about this before. Well, that's it's
when
one of those
not?
Things like you have to practice kind of on your own, right? Because if you practice among other people, they look at you like you're a wackadoodle.
Honestly, sometimes it's just, there were times when I was like living in Philadelphia, if you walk through the city and you just don't want to be bothered.
You just start beatboxing and nobody bothers you.
Like, I am Hey Arnold walking down the street to my own soundtrack. Like, that's, yeah.
Like Peter Griffin riding on the bus,
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And again, it's like one of those things that like now in like the last 2 years where I'm like, oh shit, I'm ADHD. I'm like, oh, those were all stims.
Yeah.
Like walking around. Imitating sounds. I'm like, oh, that's what that is. Okay. Just,
you know. Have you ever entered into any contests for beatboxing? No.
No.
Why not?
Because I never took it to the point. I love doing it, and it's fun. I love like doing it with other people and like adding it to my stuff. Like when I play music, I have the microphone hooked up to my looper and I will loop my own beats and stuff like that as I
that's
set up
pretty
songs.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's fun to use for that too. Yeah. It's nice. And it's easier than having to like pre-program a bunch of songs. I can just like hit record and be like, I can drop a beat on myself. So that's nice. But I remember years ago in like Philadelphia area when I went out to an open mic, I met this guy who for the open mic, he beatboxed. And he did like EDM beatboxing. And I'm just like, oh.
Like took you through a whole
song.
Oh,
he's like, boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, okay, I can't do. I'm like, boots and cats and boots.
Yeah.
Like that's what I got. Like,
you're
so
like
I was like,
Adam
no, I don't
Sandler. He's good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but I also grew up listening to like when I really started like being aware of like beatboxing, listening to like the classic beatboxes, like the If Your Mother Only Knew.
Yeah.
If you're familiar, like that.
Yeah. If you can sing and do it at the same time, you're like, oh man, I could do that.
Man,
yeah.
I think KRS-One was the first person I heard do that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like it, like hearing that stuff and like the old school, like the recordings, I can't even remember some of the names, like the stuff that came out with like Dougie Fresh, like the human beatbox.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, that was the era that like I grew up with. Mm-hmm. So like when, it was always like a thing for me. And then it was actually in college where I was serving at a restaurant and I'm walking around and guy behind me is like, just walking around. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, and that like those conversations then flourish. We would like hang out, we beatbox together and just like, just mess around. And yeah,
that's cool.
It's a good time.
Yeah. for myself, I've tried two different looper pedals and I just can't, I can't get it to a point where I'm consistent enough to be able to do it live and be happy with it.
Yeah.
So I just, I've scrapped it so many times.
Which ones? Like, cause I mean, I swear by mine.
I had a Ditto, which was just like the single, you know, and it's got like five or six different operations depending on how many fucking times you tap it. I'm like, how many times do I gotta tap this thing to do the thing? And then I had the Boss. I had a single pedal Boss. Okay. And that one was okay. Yeah. That one worked fine. But I've found that, I think Matt uses, Helios or something.
I think
starts with
Helios.
An H.
Is
that what it is? And then I know there's Helix a double pedal. Helios, that could be it. Yeah.
I have the, so I have like Boss. The double Boss, but there's also like the five Boss.
Wow. I have seen that.
And then there's, but so there was like the five Boss and then they came out and they're like, yeah, we're scrapping the five thing and we're just doing small, like the little dot switches again, just like similar to how the Ditto was, but it did so much more.
Okay.
So my buddy had gotten one of those and he's like, he's a looping master.
But you got to like sit there. You really
have to learn it. You have to learn it and practice it. Yeah. For me, like I like the RC30 because it was a two pedal one, but it has the XLR. So you can do like the beatbox looping.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, it took a while of like, figuring out just sitting at home being like press it damn it nope okay erase press it press it hey I got it let's see if I can do that again press it press it damn it making like two steps forward and like seven steps back
you gotta have it just like as part of the flow
because
if you don't have that when you actually get up on stage you're so nervous you're like I'm like two out of five times gonna fuck this up so you're like I'm just gonna fuck it
whatever. I was kind of what I was starting to say before the ADHD kicked in about the Big Bun show.
Yeah.
I had recorded just to kind of, I'm starting to like record little clips of myself doing things at live shows.
Yeah. You should.
Yeah. And so like I have this under the covers. I have a whole bunch of other stuff. I have like third person, you know, videos, but I'm just like just hooking up to my phone and just hit record when I'm doing stuff. But I was like, I watched it and I'm just like, wow, like watching me like noodle and play with the looper. And I'm like, man, 2 years ago when I was first being like, I got to start playing again, I was so uncomfortable with it. I was literally like having conversations with my friends like, man, I want to bring the looper out, but I just don't know if I'm there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And just grinding. And it became like where the looper was like maybe like 5 minutes of my show or like, you know, maybe then like it became like 10%. And now it's like, it's incorporated throughout my show. Like sometimes it'll be like a bunch of songs in a row, like 5-10 songs in a row where I'm using the looper on each song and looping vocals, doing beatboxes, guitar stuff. And then I'll just have a stretch where I'll just not touch it. And I'll just like do some straight songs or medleys or stuff like that. But it just ebbs and flows. But now that the fact that I can just comfortably be like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to throw a loop in here right now just to have fun with this.
And that was kind of like us with the kazoo. We were just like, yeah, let's just start doing the kazoo with every song.
I love that.
We're really good at it.
The kazoo and the tambourine.
He's got a lanyard for it.
Yeah. Ooh. A little kazoo just slides right into it. So I can
good.
He went to the kazoo museum.
I did.
Came back with like a whole kit.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It was pretty sick. It came with like a little bell, like a trumpet does.
I was going to say, do they have any like slide whistles there? Or is that like against the
That's not a kazoo.
No, we're not do that.
I'm just saying. Come on.
We're going to cut that part out.
Them fighting words.
Oh, man. This is it. End of the interview. You're done.
That one place provided kazoos for like 3/4 of the country or the world. Wow. It's like how many they just produce kazoo out of the.
Just
have
you ever like blown out a kazoo?
What?
Oh yeah,
blown out a kazoo.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Like the little. Yeah, I didn't realize.
I've blown
like
those
little
discs out.
Like,
there's two. There's two main different ones. There's probably others, but there's more of like a paper kind of thing. And if you get that too wet, it'll like fall through, or it'll like you'll blow it out.
Yeah.
And then there's the plastic ones, that you can get these like little Ziploc bags, you know, with like 100 in there.
Yeah.
And every so often you just replace them and you can keep the same kazoo. Just screw the thing off, put the new filter in and then,
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's, we played a gig, Bacon and I played a gig in, at the Wharf last week or the week before.
Two Fridays ago.
Yeah. And I was like, I think I don't feel like the kazoo is, you know,
it's not kazooing.
It's not giving, you know, what I need it to
the
give.
Kazoomph.
And so yeah, it's not giving me enough kazoomph. So I took it apart during our break and I put it back together and I was like, what do you think? And then I put it, you know, I have this thing where I kind of put it over the microphone and started playing it. It was like the only thing that you could hear instead of just kind of in the background. Yeah. So.
I think that did it.
What was one of the first songs you ever learned to play and then ended up playing out?
Oh,
what gave you the confidence to be like, all right, yeah, we're doing this?
As far as like learning songs, going back to like college now, started doing like the open mics in college. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of like
Wonderwall.
Like, no, actually, it was like Justin Timberlake stuff. Like, ooh, what goes around comes around. Like,
now
that
you're
was my bread and butter.
Timmy's language.
Yeah. So like that, Cry Me a River, mm-hmm, a lot of that stuff. But also, I was a huge Jason Mraz head.
Oh yeah.
So as soon as I could play the chords that he was playing, before I could name them, I'm just like, here's this weird chord that I'm like, oh, that's an A major 7. How about that? Like, yeah. 12 years later, I'm like, oh, there's a name for the bossa nova chord that I just called. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, bossa nova chord with the index finger on 5.
Yeah.
Move it to 3.
Like, that was it. I don't know what it is, but I know how to make the sound.
Exactly, exactly. I felt like Phoebe Buffay. Like, this is the bear claw. And like,
yeah.
Yeah. But, that's a good reference there. Good, good, good.
But yeah, it was definitely the
Mr. AZ song or something.
Yep.
Mr. AZ. It's all about the wordplay.
Yeah, I was really into the deep cuts, actually. There was one song called A Thousand Things that
that's
I
a good
loved.
One. I was a Mraz head too. Yeah. You and I have a lot in common, man.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. Is that the I could die every day?
No. It was that's yes, the one actually.
Yes.
That's the
I just
one.
Nice deep Tim's cut. Reaction.
Well, took me a second. I was like, wait, that's no. Well, yeah,
a
sure.
Thousand
okay.
Years.
Yes.
Oh, so you built off of that. Did you originally think that you were just going to do cover songs, or like when did you become inspired to start writing your own stuff?
Oh, I was writing before guitar. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I did like poetry in middle school when I first started like just trying to like figure out who am I, like express myself. Mm-hmm. And that quickly turned into like I was already like always sitting at the piano. Like we had one in the house, and as soon as I would get home from school, I would just like sit down on the piano and just play stuff.
Were you just rewriting Mary Had a Little Lamb?
Basically,
over and over
like
again?
It would be funny. I'd come up with something, and I'd be like, Mom, Dad, come here, check this out. And I'd play it. I'd be like, is this something somebody already wrote? And they'd be like,
yeah. Lee Allen like, oh, had a little.
They're like, yeah, this is the song we were just listening to earlier today. But like, I was literally just hearing them and like going and playing them.
You were translating.
Yeah. And until the point I was just like, when they're like, oh, yeah, that's something different. That's nice. And I'd be like, really? Like that's, I just wrote something. Like, and then
how old are you?
At this point,
at the well, oh, not now,
I'm,
but then.
Yeah, I'm like, what? At this point, I'm in elementary school. Easily,
it's important for me to know how old you are now.
Right now,
this interview took
as
a turn.
A side
this
topic.
Weird.
Wait, you're 18, right?
Awkward.
But no, I was around elementary school at this point.
Okay,
and so like, I remember actually high school was I was a theater kid, but I was not like the theater kid. I was like in the shows, but I was never the lead in the shows. Mm. So I remember senior year, I did the talent show with a song I wrote and playing the piano and singing a song. It was.
Yeah.
And especially since like the kid in my grade that was cast as the lead in the theater production every year was also going to be singing a theater song. Mm. Like, and I went up there and I got second place. And he did not place,
dude.
And I was like, I'll take it. Like,
nice. Yeah.
And he was not happy about that. But I'm sure he still swears. You know,
did you like remember put that, a but, knife in his tires?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, slash. Like, that's what you get for losing, bitch.
Yeah, you suck at life. Yeah.
But no, that was kind of like definitely like lit a candle for me, like lit the flame. So
you're like, what else can you do with this?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was already just kind of like. I was writing anyway. I liked writing for myself. I liked making music. So it was already just becoming a thing. But man, when I started playing guitar, like that was.
So when you started playing guitar and you realized that you wanted to take things either to an open mic or to play mm-hmm. a gig, did you always incorporate original stuff? Like, or did you kind of blend that in eventually, or what did that look like?
It took some time. It took some time to be confident enough in my original stuff and in myself to like put that stuff out there, like just to do it. Like at open mics, I feel like that was always kind of like I guess like I'll throw in a song in there or something. But I mean, even today, like I'm playing like these long shows and I'm just like, do I play an original? Like there was a gig that I literally had played there 3 times. And on the 3rd time I played an original song or two. Cause my girlfriend Grace was hanging out and she's like, why don't you play like this song, play mm-hmm. that song.
You're like, have fun.
Yeah. And, 2 days later, got hit up and they're like, oh, they're not going to need you to come back again. And I was like,
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, you just weren't the right vibe. And I'm like, the first 2 times when I didn't play any originals, I was the right vibe. And just this time, like, wow. I was like, that's but I was like, at the same time, I'm like, if that's your stance, I'm like,
yeah,
all right, I'm good. Like, that's fine.
Right.
But also now that makes me question, what was your reason for thinking of playing an original? Was it dead? And you're like, hey, I'm just going to play an original. Or you're like, morale is high, I'm going to give it a shot.
It was actually more like, it was kind of more like people weren't really tuned in. It's like, all right, yeah. I'm just playing.
So then who cares?
I'm playing, just
maybe
jamming.
Maybe you guys
like,
don't need live music.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just play the radio.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, that's basically what it is. And I have seen people since then post, you know, on like the Facebook things about like, oh, looking for somebody to replace this place. And they're like, only super like high tempo, like fun covers. Like
sure.
That's what they want.
Hey, my rate is $800 for 3 hours.
Yep.
Right. Happy to play all the high tempo songs I have.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly.
Whatever.
But yeah, that's what it is. And I'm just like, all right, I've started to learn like, like we talked about, like the playlist. Like there's something about catering to the vibe of a venue versus like you're not being true to yourself as an artist. And it's like, at what point are you just, and it's not fun at that point. Like right. I don't want to play a bunch of songs. I don't want to play Wagon Wheel for 3 hours. Like and Sweet Caroline. They're fun at the end of the night sometimes, but I don't need a million requests for those.
I did have another segment in mind, either in place of or in addition to. I don't know if you're trying to tap out.
No tapping out here, man.
You want to do a quick rapid fire?
It's a new segment brought to you by Timmy's Timberines.
Rapid fire. Pew, 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 pew,
pew. That's rapid fire right there.
Your gun needs medication.
All right, rapid fire.
So the idea is you just give us the best answer you got.
Pew, pew.
Do you want to do it? Do you want to just record it? Go ahead. So the idea is you just throw out an answer and there is a little bit of pressure, right? Because you don't know what I'm going to ask. But some of them are easy. Some of them are kind of hard. First one, favorite holiday.
Ooh, Christmas.
Yeah?
And I'm Jewish. But yeah, still Christmas.
Okay. Yeah. Is it just like the environment, the people that you share it with, kind of thing?
I love the Christmas spirit. I love the holiday spirit, the jolliness, people smiling, excited about like giving stuff to people and all that stuff.
Like, it's like the season leading up to like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day.
Yeah. Plus
it's like 8 days and nights, and it's like, oh my God, when is this over?
Yep. Plus I love the irony of like putting foliage in your house and putting lights outside.
There you go. Yeah.
It's like the most ironic holiday.
Okay. Yeah. It's true, actually.
That's good. Let's
take all the shit from outside, put it inside, and then we're going to brighten up the outdoors. Yeah, so nobody can actually see in our windows and see all the shit we brought inside.
Yeah. And then when it's over, we're going to light it all on fire.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Guitar strings brand.
Oh, I love the Dario.
Okay.
I do. I love the Dario. And like depending on like how broke I am on the time determines like what quality of D'Addario strings I get, whether it's like phosphor bronze or like the ones that are like the Elixir ones.
Mm-hmm. That's nano
nano. Yep, exactly. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, I'm feeling fancy. Let me go with the nano poly stuff. I can afford it today.
So right now, I actually just ordered them. Amazon has a 3-pack for $40.
Oh,
which is a good deal.
That is a great deal
on the nano.
Plus, when you get to D'Addario, then you like scan the player pack things and you're like, oh, maybe one day I'll get a free pack of strings in a couple years.
If I buy enough, they say.
I could get a stool for 10 million tokens.
Yeah.
Is that like Marlboro Miles? You buy enough.
Exactly. It is. It is.
I'm like, I'll get a hat.
T-shirt.
Yeah. And then one day I'll get the car.
That's right.
You'll be like 75 yeah. years old.
Just one
it
more
just
pack
says D'Addario on it.
Yeah.
kind of relevant with us talking about Paris and food. Mm-hmm. Most delicious meal in recent memory.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Wow. We've learned a lot tonight.
Word, yeah.
Good job,
yeah.
Lee.
Actually, one of the most delicious things was my girlfriend Grace recently made oxtail. We found, like, we have been going to this store, and every now and again we'll come across that. And she was just like, I'm going to make some oxtail.
Like, it looks good.
Like,
let's get
can
it.
Do that. But it's not just the oxtail, because it becomes like, it's the whole thing, the oxtail and the rice and the vegetables. And the first time I came home after she had been like cooking all day, and she's like, here's some. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is, can you make this all the time? And it's like, well, no, because oxtail is like $27 a pound.
Yeah,
but, right. But you know, when we see it, so now like we go to the store and there's like, anytime there's like a single thing of oxtail, she's like, looks at me.
Sure.
And I'm just like,
or if it's like on discount, you're like, honey, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, all right, we're going to splurge for the oxtail. Let's do it. Like,
nice.
Yeah, absolutely. All day. Yeah.
Well, it sounds way better than the first thing you said.
Agreed.
One superpower.
One superpower. I'm not very rapid firing this. Sorry.
This is the slowest rapid fire.
He can go.
I'll just be like,
yeah. No, my instinct is like telekinesis, you know, reading people's minds.
Well, is it
telepathy? Telepathy.
Telekinesis is being able to move
levitate. Yep.
With your mind.
Didn't get that one right. I failed.
That's okay. You want to say it again?
Nope.
So you want to be Professor X?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just want to
like
speak.
I want to
be
like communicate with people.
Yeah. Right.
Oh,
Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah, she's hot.
That's why.
Exactly.
That's why.
I just want to be hot like Jean.
Yeah. I just want everyone to treat me like an object.
You'd be able to hear him talk about it too.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be a great existence.
That's, God, actually, yeah, what a terrible existence. It's bad enough to have to hear what men say out loud. Can you imagine
what they're thinking?
Yeah, that's gross. That's why they never made that movie like What Women Want or What Men Want.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the other way
around. Because it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. It
definitely wouldn't.
Plus, Mel Gibson's amazing anyway. How do you top that, right?
Survey says.
When's that next Jesus movie coming out?
Right? Anyway,
what did he say to his ex-wife?
I don't know.
Awkward.
Oh, we're gonna cut that. Favorite card game.
There it is.
Favorite card game.
I love some poker when I have the patience for it. Some Texas Hold'em.
Texas Hold'em.
Yeah,
five
yeah.
card, seven card.
Usually five card.
Okay.
Yeah. You know. That would be like if I was like invested and I could sit and like have the patience to play all night. Mm. But otherwise, like growing up, like spit game.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody remembers that.
Yeah.
It was like,
or Egyptian rat screw.
Egyptian rat screw, I just learned. That is
Grace. Okay.
Yeah, she taught that to me a few months ago. And we had a fun little experiment playing that back and forth and testing our hand speed against each other. So
yeah.
That was fun.
And she has nails.
Yeah.
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 You gotta be
That's
careful.
True. That's very true. Yeah. She actually, we just played the other day, literally, because I was talking about, hey, remember the time you taught me how to play Egyptian rat screw and I beat you over and over again? She goes, yeah. Yeah. I remember that. And then she whooped my ass.
Yeah.
And she's like, have a great day. I was like, thank you.
She learned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last time you laughed so hard, you had to catch your breath.
I don't even remember.
Some of these are not easy, I told you.
I know
thinking
that's...
about the time that he laughed so hard.
The correct answer is earlier tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On this podcast.
Yeah.
Whoa.
All right, ask that question again.
I'm just kidding.
No, he'll splice it. Go ahead. Say whatever you want.
No, I think, God, I feel like watching a stand-up comedian. Like, there's sometimes I'll scroll through and like Jeff R. Curry or something like that, and watching stage work or something, mm-hmm. and I'll be like in the other room dying of laughter and run out of the bathroom. Babe, you gotta watch this. Like wheezing.
Yeah.
That's probably one of those.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Timbo? Because you were thinking about it.
When Brian realized that we weren't laughing at his jokes on the podcast.
Oh my God.
I think that was one of the most funny.
That was hilarious. Funny.
Hilarious.
God, that was like a year ago now?
It is about a year ago.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's been a rough year.
You haven't laughed that hard since.
Nah, it's been a rough year.
I'm glad I've been.
Bring that joy.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Exactly.
So earlier, like when we first started the podcast, Timmy and I kind of like had a silent agreement that we weren't going to laugh at his joke. And we episode after episode to the point where he was like, you guys, what's going on? Every time I tell a joke, you guys never laugh.
I'm like, everything like, I say falls flat.
Yeah.
What the hell is happening?
The awkward silence.
And one day we were interviewing Rook Richards and it just came out and we just.
They were all laughing at me.
It was hilarious.
It was great.
They were like, yeah, look at this imbecile. He's on the podcast. He didn't know.
I'll never forget what you said. You said, I've never felt so loved and so hated at the same time.
Yeah.
That's friendship.
That's true.
Friendship.
I mean, yeah. I guess. I don't know. Shit.
Oh.
We wouldn't have done it to you if we didn't love you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would hope you wouldn't do it to someone unless you knew they could take it.
That's true.
Jesus. That's when I'm like, driving home. That pole looks good.
What a nice view.
99
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, I got two more.
Okay.
Rapid fire.
Try. Mm-hmm. I'll try.
Go to Spotify radio or playlist. Like when Spotify. You're like, I need to hear some music.
Spotify.
No, I know Spotify.
Oh, sorry.
But like if you're on Spotify, you're like, you know, play XYZ radio.
Steely Dan.
Who you asked for. Not you.
Oh, I'm not up.
Okay. Jackass.
I actually have like, it has like all the catered mixes. So okay. I like flip through my daily mixes or I go through a shared playlist that Grace and I have. Yeah, that's usually when I'm in the car, that's the go-to. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I know, yeah, because you can like sign up for stuff and it'll be like, these songs are new or, mm-hmm. you know, these yeah. fit what well, we you think can, you like listening to.
You can like connect with someone else in their Spotify and it'll generate a playlist for the two of you, for the multiple people, based on your individual listening habits and overlaps.
Interesting.
So, like, it'll put a playlist, and it changes, like, every so, like, day or every week.
Get to discover new music together kind of thing.
Yeah. With that's all in the same vein and, like, run through the same playlists and all that good stuff. It's really cool.
Interesting. Yeah. It is cool. Okay. I don't think I've ever used that function, so I didn't know. Tim, what about you?
Azure Vox Radio.
Oh, my God.
Booyah.
Kazan.
I'm gonna pop your tires. We already know you.
They need replaced anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Steely Dan Steely radio. Dan. Yeah. So there, I think it was 2 years ago, mm-hmm. 23, that Bacon was seventh in the nation or in the world?
In the world.
Steely Dan radio. Like he just listened to Steely Dan that nonstop. Much. Yeah.
I mean, they are good.
I listen to it like in the background while I'm working.
So
like,
that's fair.
So like that their is catalog good. Is so big that it like is, every right. once in a while I'm like, oh, I love this song.
Yep.
You know.
Now, does that include different versions or collaborations or other things that they did? Yeah.
They don't have very many. Like it's usually just like live or like studio because they don't like have a lot of like different versions of the songs because they're masterpieces, you know. Except there is a song where Donald Fagen plays the piano by himself. For the most part, and it's pretty good.
To those
that's Michael fucking McDonald.
Yeah.
That's
how he sounds. And Bacon knows. Listens to it all the time. The whole year straight to get to be number seven.
Oh man!
All right, last one. Rapid fire. Next gig.
This week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Friday.
It's Friday.
I'm like looking at my calendar when my phone's off. It's Friday at Makers Union in Reston.
Hell yeah.
Oh, nice.
8 to 11 p.m.
Yes, I love that spot. That's a great excited. Spot.
My first time playing there. I'm very pumped.
Before we close out, is there anything else you want to plug? You want to talk about Collab and how often you guys get together or like your website or Instagram? Or
so Collab, you can find it online at collaboration-laboratory.com. And the next session is in just about 2 weeks on the 19th. We do them the third Mondays of every month is what we shoot for.
What's your Instagram and
My socials? Instagram is Lee Allen Sounds, LEEALLEN Sounds. All of the social medias. And then Collaboration Laboratory is collaboration.laboratory on Instagram.
Nice. And Lee Allen has a wood burning Etsy shop if you want to look them up on Etsy.
Yeah, good luck finding that.
All right, Lee, thank you very much for coming in. We appreciate you. It. I guess, Brian?
Sing us home!
Podcast Envy is a production of Bacon Wave Productions in cooperation with Revelry Media Productions. Follow us on Instagram at PodcastRNV. Follow us on TikTok at Podcast.Envy. Join our Patreon at Patreon.com/PodcastEnvy. Follow, like, and subscribe to stay up to date on our latest episodes. Send us your feedback and more at PodcastEnvy.com. A Bacon Wave podcast production.